Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, February 11th, 2018 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And FYI, I am not juxtaposing the audio of the show with Prince right now for a variety of reasons, but I am posting it to the Prince Juxtapositions page following Juxtaposition 188. And the most recent draft number of the PDF for these shows uploaded this morning is number 980. Sisters and brothers, in our last week's show, we considered Paul's and Jesus's use of injunctions or commandments, following in the prophetic tradition of Moses, of command standing over the children as a mechanism to break the hold of the false authority of man over man, of the state. Today, we ask whether this is an early form of Prince's choice and argue that the prophetic voice requires the engagement of thought, a conscious thought process, regardless of its use of commands or not. We said last week that the concepts of punishment, we quoted St. Matthew, those who refuse love as their ruler shall go away into everlasting punishment, while the righteous into life eternal. The biblical chapter, St. Matthew, the words of Jesus, we said that the concepts of punishment and rule, which is that prophetic tradition of command, intimately tied with the whys of frozen feelings, are at the core of class and have at their basis our nature of growth continuous. Through an intentional use of fear juxtaposed with love, an error we are considering that waited 2,000 years for Alice to unpack for us. It was transmitted around the world. But I think the word authority is the more truthful term for what Paul meant by his use of the words rule and punishment. Though this is certainly not clear in how he was interpreted and perhaps translated, as Proudhon has shown us, it is authority that has its basis in our nature of growth continuous. We've talked about that in previous shows, and we reinforce it as we go. When Paul speaks of his flesh as people who with consciousness aspired to righteousness, who would be inspired by jealousy to aspire even higher, he calls this method emulation, a word Proudhon uses in a similar sense as continuous growth, which we've been arguing is our nature. Quote from Paul, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump, the group that comes after, is also holy. And if the foot be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fall, severity, but toward thee, goodness. if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And recall, Jacob's 12 sons became the founders of the 12 tribes of ancient Israel. We've been reading from Romans 11. How then are we to assess the intersections of the prophetic tradition of command, of juxtaposing fear with love, its basis in our nature of continuous growth, with the decommissioning method? The imperative of using our gift of reflection and honoring the infinite as the source of it, of making our conduct conscious, the guidance thereby to hearken and to choose. Beyond that is what we've already said, that prophets used command as a mechanism to break the hold of the false authority of the state, of man over man. Let's consider what we know of power, that Paul may only just now, as he writes Romans, be discovering that those who lust for rule are bandits. Proudhon explained this to us too, and that as we proceed with Paul along his journey, we will, as he does, with increasing frustration, discover more and more incursions of power into his efforts, more and more theft of his methods, which the power guys, note, are effective. Quoting Paul, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. My interjection here in by the Holy Ghost, we learn from the dictionary, is meant the third person of the Trinity, which is the Christian Godhead as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God is said to be Trinity in unity. God as spiritually active in the world, continuing. And I myself also, says Paul, am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient, by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Unquote. Power becomes power only by renouncing its gift of reflection from the infinite. Alice tells us that this is not conscious, but the result of abusive treatment from the adults around it. So authentic thought is beyond it, and they covet it. Covet its effects. Its effects being, it moves us, which knowing how to do for power is everything. Power's whole game is keeping us conned. They've known that from day one. The prophetic voice causes us to think. The power guys coveted the technique. stole it to do the opposite. They are thieves.